Best day of the week, Monday, brand new week, brand new Monday. Let's go. Let's get after it. Are you owning your Monday so far?
Yes.
Are you? Is it a good day so far? I mean, you're halfway through.
Yes, we're all the way inside of it. Let's go.
Okay. Deshaun Spencer is demonstrably better than Ryan Williams. And it shouldn't shock anybody that Deshaun is in the playing rotation for Auburn this year as a true freshman. Now, see, you laughed at that.
I didn't. I laughed not at the take itself, but just the motivation behind the take is why I laughed at it.
Well, the motivation is let me give you the motivation.
Please, now, motivation.
I know what you may think the motivation is. You may think the motivation is to rile up the other segment, the other part of the fan base, because they do watch our show. More than they watch their own stuff. We know this. They've told us. We've gotten comments on it. But I've heard some talk over the last couple of weeks, and especially last week with camp starting, about Deshaun Spencer playing and like, wow, true freshman, a little surprised that he's... It should come as a surprise to nobody that Deshaun Spencer is in the rotation. Not just because of A-Day, by the way. He had a fantastic A-Day. But other players.
Well,
have...
hold on. Can we define a few things?
Sure.
Playing rotation or starting?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think anyone expected him to be starting.
Okay.
And he may not be now. We'll see. But I think most people would have said, especially with like the talk of like six guys, I think most people would have said he would have been in that top six
before A-Day.
Before A-Day, I don't know.
Like, as a true freshman coming out of Sarah Land, yeah, for sure, he'll be in the playing rotation. I don't think a lot of people thought that.
Before
Maybe I'm wrong.
A-Day, I'm trying to think. Before A-Day, probably not. Because it would have been the main three and Neptune and Brian Williams. And at that point, the hype around Bryce Kane was probably higher. I'm trying to put myself back in that spot in time.
Sam Turner didn't really go through spring. We weren't talking about Sam Turner
hurt.
In the spring.
Yeah.
But we were probably talking about him in terms of getting
you know
back
who,
for the
You know
fall.
Who else would have been up there, though, is Duke Smith at that time.
Yeah, that's true.
He was no longer on
point.
The team. So, right. Sure, I'll give you that. That's fine.
But I'm going to go ahead
Before
and take
A-Day.
It.
Sure.
But I'm going to go ahead and take it another step further. I will not be surprised if he's a starter. Now, I know Nimrod and, you know, and Singleton and Koger are the big, you know, they're the Tampa trio. I just won't be surprised at all.
The Bull Boys.
The Bull Boys, sure. But Deshaun Spencer, if you compare Deshaun and Ryan, both remarkably gifted physically. Okay. Deshaun Spencer.
Who would you say is more remarkably gifted physically?
I think they're comparable.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. So Deshaun is an inch shorter and like 5 to 10 pounds lighter.
So I've always said I like my receivers shorter and a little bit lighter. I've always said that.
Really? Are you being sarcastic or are you being for real?
I'm being a little sarcastic, but okay. I do think Spencer is good. Yeah.
I'd rather have 6'3 than 5'10, but 5'11 or 6 feet, 183 versus 178, especially when one guy's going into year three and the other is going into year one.
Yeah, that's the difference of like, did you eat at Applebee's the night before? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Did you have a lot of salt in your meal before the game? That's really about the only difference.
Yeah. Like, so, man, I'm holding a lot of water right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, are you wearing the Barney Fife chain before you go make weigh-in? You know?
When's the last time you've eaten at Applebee's?
It's been multiple years. It's been a very
really?
Long time. Yeah.
I think Applebee's is really good.
All right. Okay.
We don't need to talk about it anymore. Keep going.
I have a couple of questions, but I'll leave them. Maybe we'll do that in the post show. Maybe not.
Speaking of the post show, when you're watching this on Monday,
yeah,
it'll have gone up Sunday night. We're so sorry.
In fact, there's a percentage of you that have that watched the post show last night.
Correct.
Thanks.
We're so sorry.
We just
tell YouTube to be able to schedule member videos. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, this is the ride we're on. So thanks for being on it with us.
And look, I'm not getting off of it.
No, we're just leaning in totally. Yeah. How about we'll lean into it?
Yeah, there we
go. All right, let's lean into more of the
behind you.
Can we
open that box live on the post show?
No, I'm packing for a move. So
is there stuff in that box?
There is some stuff in that box.
Can we open the box on the post show?
I think it's bathroom stuff. I don't think we do that. I think it's cleaning supplies and towels.
Okay. Got it.
Really interesting stuff.
Got it.
The one under it, there's two. So maybe the one under it, maybe stuff from one of the kids' rooms.
All right.
Deshaun Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Spencer. So he broke Ryan Williams' single season receiving record at Saraland.
Which means he's better, right?
He's demonstrably better. Like this is
statistically better.
Not some pie in the sky. Like this is Saraland against high caliber competition. Same offense. One guy's numbers are better than the other guy's numbers.
What are we doing?
Argue against that. Like, well, Ryan Williams did it multiple years, right? Because Deshaun was a running back, because to have both Deshaun and Ryan as wide receiver didn't make a whole lot of sense. So as soon as Ryan is gone, Deshaun moves into the role and produces
more. So what you're telling me is Ryan Williams was holding Deshaun Spencer back.
I'm saying that if Ryan Williams had not been at Saraland at the same time as Deshaun Spencer by like a couple of years, perhaps Spencer is the guy. And if Deshaun had been like, had put up track numbers, because I think Ryan did some track and had some impressive numbers there too. They're both extremely athletically gifted.
Mm-hmm.
One guy was an inch taller and maybe did some more camps and had some track times. And so he was a heralded five-star recruit.
I got it. Can I give you a stat back? Do you mind? Yeah.
No, I don't mind at all.
Deshaun Spencer has less fumbles in Iron Bowls than Ryan Williams and Cam Coleman.
See, I detect an element of irony or sarcasm with this argument, as if I'm making it for performance.
I'm doing the same thing you're doing. What do you mean?
No, I'm being completely unironic with this.
So you're saying Deshaun Spencer is a better receiver than Ryan Williams?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's the point that I'm making.
Got it.
The only real comparison we can have between the two of them is what they did in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Deshaun produced more than Ryan did in high school. So, and the reason I'm making that, like, I'm not just trying to put a period on that argument. What I'm saying is then, if Deshaun Spencer comes out and produces in college his freshman year and has an outstanding season, it shouldn't come as a shock to anybody. Because the other guy put up some big numbers in a few games as a freshman at Alabama. Shouldn't surprise anybody if the guy who did better than that guy at the same high school broke his single season receiving record, comes out and right away is able to produce as a part of this offense.
All right.
So
it's a great case.
I mean, it's the only objective measuring capacity we have. And Deshaun Spencer gets the nod. That's just objectivity.
I love that you can like say an objective factoid and then I say one and you think I'm making a joke. I think that's
all right.
As partners for several years.
Yeah. Three plus. Yeah.
Over 500 episodes. Was it 500 on Friday?
Yeah. This is 501.
And you I was trying to match your energy, and I didn't love the smackdown there.
All right. You know what? Maybe I was a little too intense and in the zone. Repeat your fact again, please.
Deshaun Spencer has less
and do it with a straight face.
I'm trying, man. Give me a
second. Do it with a straight face.
Give me a second.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was the same. It was the same.
Uh-huh. It was the same energy?
Yeah, it was the same energy. Of course it was. I don't know what in the world I was upset about. It's the exact same. How silly.
Sean Spencer.
Yeah.
Deshaun Spencer has less Iron Bowl fumbles than Cam Coleman and Ryan Williams.
Did you see the video over the weekend of Cam Coleman catching a pass that was intended for somebody else, clearly, and he just reached out and Inspector Gadgeted the thing?
Well, I love how all the people were like, there was half of the people that were like, I hope Arch wasn't throwing that. And then the other half like, oh, well, that's clearly deflected. I'm like, clear? Like,
yeah.
Like, it might have been. I'm not saying it wasn't. But right. Like, clearly deflected? How can you tell? Clearly?
It's like analyzing Zapruder film.
And I'm pro-Arch. I like Arch. I think he's a tad overrated. It's not his fault. But I like Arch.
Sure.
I'm like, clearly deflected? What are we doing?
I love just overreacting in general because of one clip. Like, we know Cam Coleman's talented.
Oh, yeah. Have you not watched him play? Nobody else saw him do that. He's been doing it since he was like 14 years old.
Like, we put out clips like that last year. Like, we got it. Nope.
Yeah. We won 5 games with that. Thank you.
Yeah. And somebody pointed out on X that the game after Hugh Freeze and staff were let go, he set his season high in catches and yards. Like, cool.
Was that against Vandy?
Yeah, I guess it would have been. That was the first game after.
Seeing that offense click, I've never been so confused watching a football game. Like, I didn't know to be mad, upset, excited. Yeah. Watching that was the craziest thing.
Yeah, it was surreal.
Ever.
It was surreal.
Yeah.
Okay. Today's show is brought to you in part by Active Wealth Management. Yeah, Zach is a busy, busy guy. Zach and Ford are meeting with people. They're getting their retirement straight. And if you want to be
we're recording this on Sunday night, if we're being 100% honest.
Yeah, that's right.
We had 50 people show up for a seminar last Thursday, which was awesome. Had some really good conversations. We're getting to have deeper conversations with folks all throughout today. We've got 2 seminars on Tuesday and Thursday this week. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, email me zach@activewealth.com. We would love to meet with you. If you can go to the seminars, great. We'll give you the details, or you can meet with us at our office. We've got an office now in Opelika. It's close to Tigertown. But whether it's, you know, wealth management, which, you know, Ford can handle all that, or, you know, focusing on transitioning to retirement, we both can help with that as far as, you know, your revenue in retirement. So check us out. Email me directly, zach@activewealth.com.
Beautiful. Speaking
you're
of
beautiful.
Thanks, Zach. So are you always, especially in that shirt. That's a sharp shirt.
Sharpshirt.com.
It's not a real website. Or if it is, it's not ours. AUShirts.com is
that's
ours.
Actually where you should go for shirts. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right. No doubt. All right. Speaking of overreacting to things online, Cody Burns was interviewed Saturday after practice.
Right.
And I thought this was maybe an important quote. Let's see if you agree. So he was asked about the USF receivers facing SEC defensive backs, making the transition from the American Conference to the SEC. Here was the quote. Yeah, I think a little bit of it is overblown. If you look at the schedule from our team last year, we did play SEC teams and it worked out pretty good. And so those guys do have experience from that standpoint. He went on to talk about the difference between skill players in the American Conference and the SEC isn't really that big of a gap. And that the big difference between the two conferences are the lines of scrimmage. The talent and the depth on the offense and the defensive lines is a bigger gap SEC and American than that of skill positions.
Well, It's a good thing we're starting two guys from South Florida and a guy from James Madison on the offensive line.
So that's where I wanted to go with that, because I thought it was like he said it with all the confidence of prime Charles Barkley. You know what I'm saying? Like prime Charles Barkley kind of confidence. Huh?
That's awesome.
What? It's a vintage starting lineup. 1990. Still sealed? Oh, yeah. Still in the package.
What is that worth right now, you think?
I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
Okay, good. What does it mean that three starters on the offensive line are coming from group of conferences and not the SEC? And that the offensive line coach played at a group of conference school and has coached at one before coming to, like, this is the first taste of the SEC going against SEC defensive linemen, these future NFL guys. Is that more of a concern than it was before the weekend, given this comment? Like, does it shed a light? Does it make you concerned now hearing that comment or reading that comment from Cody Burns? Because I think it's a fine point to make. Because, you know, if you're a skill position guy, you know, do I want to be the third receiver at power conference school or fourth or fifth? Or do I want to be the number one guy at an American? Like, there's not a huge drop off in the talent level there, I don't think.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I fully agree with that. Like, there are some guys that get drafted from smaller schools, but most don't.
Yeah. Well, nowadays, anyway, if you start out at a smaller school and you have SEC talent, you transfer into the bigger school.
No, you're right. You're right. Am I concerned about the O-line? Yes.
More so because of that, because of the
truth of that comment. We knew that we were starting two South Florida guys on the offensive line. Funny enough, like, the guy I'm actually least concerned about is the one from James Madison.
Mm-hmm. Is that from watching him in practice a few times and
and his tape from JMU? Like, I think he's solid. I think he's really good.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Joe Simmons is a draft pick.
Yeah. 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 One of those guys who, again, had the talent, was seen by SEC schools, and now is. So,
well, and dude, like, I like Stanton. Stanton looks really good, but, like, he gets hurt a good bit.
Yeah.
Is he injury prone or is it bad luck? Like, I don't want to put that label on anyone, but he's battled through injury.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's concerning.
Enough that the head coach at his camp opening press conference talked about load management and being smart with him. He didn't use load management, but he talked about being smart with him in fall
managing
camp and throughout the season.
That, which is what you do for, like, 10-year vets in the NFL. Like, that's...
Yeah.
He's got 2 years left of eligibility, which is good. Like, if he does get hurt, like, his career's not over, but...
Yeah.
And then, like, I love Cole Best, and this coach loves Cole Best, and I think the team loves Cole Best, but Cole Best did get pushed around at times last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could take that a couple of ways.
Can I tell you one of the things that's bugging me a little bit?
Sure.
Let's finish the conversation on the O-line. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, you're fine.
I don't want to hijack the show. I already brought up Applebee's. I'm sorry.
Does that take it in a different direction? Is it not related to O-line?
I don't know. Let's just delve there. So I guess it's related in the sense of the way, like, the most positive things we've heard about the O-line is leadership from Cole and Stanton and how guys really want to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad, I don't know. I'm a little over the leadership stuff.
Mm.
And granted, like, they get asked about the leadership stuff a lot from, like, local media, which is fine. If they need to write stories on leadership and that does well for them, like, I'm whatever, do what you need to do for your content. But I just think it's a little weird how much we're talking about it. leadership by all these different people.
Okay. So you would prefer to hear about guys dominating Dallas Walker and Sigler and Jared Smith.
Instead of like, yeah, he's a real vocal leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How much of that do you think is look, it's year one and it's way more important to build culture and establish certain.
I think he'll always talk that way.
Okay.
And I don't think it's bad. And he's asked that.
Yeah.
Like if you ask him a question about a specific player, he's going to talk about how they are as a leadership, as a leader.
Yeah.
Now I'll go back to when I asked him directly about Gavin Jenkins. He's like, you know, talking about guys who stepped up. Gavin's been a leader all offseason. I'm like, okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And then he eventually got to like his traits and ability and all that. But that's just how Golish defines everybody is like by how much they've led.
Reminds me of in Karate Kid when Ralph Macchio wants to learn to do karate to defend himself and beat people up. And Mr. Miyagi is like, no, wax the car. Wax on, wax off, baby. Yeah, but I need to learn karate. You are. You have to establish some foundational things first. And maybe that is it for this staff. Maybe the foundational part is the leadership. And then, like, say it first. Oh, okay, here we go. You say it first, and then you go be who you say you are.
Mm.
But if you don't ever say anything,
you can't be who you say you are.
You can't be who you say you are if you've never said you're anything.
Because then it's just you are.
Then it's just be. Just be.
It's going to be, just let it be. Baby, just let it be.
If it's meant to be, let it be.
Oh, if it's meant to be, let it be. Is the lyric.
It'll be, I don't know, crap. It's so late / early when we're doing the show this time.
It's like 2 a.m.
It may have to be eventually. This may be the only time that you can do the show in the future. Night owl.
But that's okay. We're helping people with their retirement.
That's correct.
At Active Wealth.
Yeah. You're going to retire early because of it.
Maybe.
Just out of fatigue.
I launched a new show today.
Just out of fatigue. Another one?
Yeah.
What else are you doing? How do you do this? How do you do this?
Workflow and systems, baby.
Man. Hardest working man in media right there. You're looking at him on the right side of the screen.
I guess
so. Or listening to him if you're audio only, which we also appreciate.
Got a long ways to go, but yeah, if you like the Patriots, check out
That's perfect for you. That's perfect for you.
Sure. Yeah. All right. I think that does it. Post show coming up.
There you go.
You can buy one on eBay right now for $5.
You're kidding. Okay. Thanks for being part of the show, everybody. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.
Post show's coming up.